Hello and welcome to It's More Than Money. It's More Than Money has a focus to bring you inspiring stories from real people who strive to improve every day. People who aren't willing to settle for the status quo, they've shaken off any limiting beliefs they might have had, and they've just gone after what they really want in life. We'll have all kinds of guests, we'll have business owners, entrepreneurs, masters of the mind, industry game changers, and money experts who will all, through their own stories, provide invaluable insights into creating a life you never thought possible. Hello there and welcome to the It's More Than Money podcast. On this episode, we have Heather Hakes. Heather is a personal trainer for your mind, a mindset coach, speaker, and author of book titled Take the Leap. Heather's been featured on numerous podcasts and published on Authority Magazine, Thrive Global, Voyage Denver, and Women Who Empower and Inspire, just to name a few. And Heather's reached tens of thousands of people through her international podcast, Mind Over Matter. Heather specializes in helping others get out of their own way. Now, we can always use with a little bit of this help to get out of our own way. We have limitations, we have blocks, we have negative thinking that keep us stuck in this rut of not being completely satisfied and completely happy. And they're the all sorts of things that we will cover off with Heather during this episode, ways you can actually use or things you can actually use during your day to feel better, to get out of the rut, and to maybe even change your life entirely. And that's the ultimate aim, because what Heather and the likes of Heather are here to do is to help you feel fulfilled, happy, and content no matter what the external circumstances are around you. This is a great episode. There's lots to share. Get your pen and paper because there's some things you might want to note down. Let's get into it. Well, hello there, Heather Hakes. Thank you for joining us. You are a personal trainer for our minds.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you on. I'm excited about this conversation because there's a lot of shared experiences that we'll be able to somewhat compare notes. But of course, for those who are listening, you're going to get a lot out of it. And I think we just jump straight into the big question. And that is, why is it important for each and every person to discover their true passion and purpose?
I remember in my 20s, I literally used to Google that. So obviously I live in America. I'm in Denver, Colorado. And I chased the societal norms, what we're conditioned to do. I went to college. I got a degree. Then I got another one. I climbed the corporate ladder. But I had this internal nagging, this feeling that, you know, I was living life on a hamster wheel, dreading Monday, cheering on Friday, week in and week out. And I literally would Google, what is my passion? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? And I know a lot of people are in that same boat. And if it's not in their 20s, I know, you know, midlife crisis, people have it in their 30s, 40s. You can't ignore that. I truly believe that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and we came here for expansion and growth. There is something that you are naturally drawn to, quote, zone of genius. And a lot of people think of it as just a hobby or a passion project, or what if that is your thing that you're supposed to go all in on that brings the abundance and the wealth and everything that you seek, and that you don't have to work in a 9-to-5 until you can retire and die. I believe we all have that. And it's just whether or not you too, we all have an internal compass, that guidance system or intuition. And it's whether or not you tune into it. And I love this saying somebody shared with me years ago, kind of more or less that the intuitive nudge will speak to you. It may be kind of light a feather. Your intuition is very quiet. The ego is very loud. So it might be kind of a feather, a dangling, like I had working in corporate, just this internal nagging, this nudge. I was meant for more.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people, if you're not paying attention to the light feather, then you'll get hit by a brick. You know, maybe it's a health thing or a divorce or a bankruptcy. And if you're really not paying attention, ultimately you get hit by a Mack truck. And I just love that idea that guidance is available. The resources will always come. Follow your joy.
Now, for you on that point, when you work with people and even sharing through your own experience, what was it that sort of woke you up to go, this isn't for me? Now, you have touched on about being aware and being self-aware, I suppose, but when do you sort of think of it, and I can relate to this too, being in a very similar situation as you, when can someone, like our listeners, when can they realize that this isn't just how life goes. This isn't how it has to be, that struggle and that challenge and keep pushing and I'm just having a bad day. What is it that snapped you out of it to do something different? And what do you see in people you work with?
Well, for me, my wake-up call was I was 30 years old. This was a few years ago. I'm 37. But I was 30 years old. I had everything that was, quote, supposed to make me happy. I had a cush job in oil and gas. I was making good money. I was traveling. I was engaged to be married to a Kiwi. We had just bought a house. You know, I had all the materialistic external things, and I was miserable. And ultimately, I ended that relationship 2 months before my wedding. So there was like the first hit. And then I moved out of the house. We had just moved into 6 weeks prior, second hit. Had to move in with my parents when I was 30. 3-hour daily commute. Like I just had all this stuff. And ultimately for me, it was my rock bottom. It was my wake-up call that I was following somebody else's definition of success.
Yeah.
And it wasn't mine. And that's when I got my first coach through Tony Robbins. I drank that Kool-Aid. And ultimately, I quit corporate in 2017.
Yeah. Did you, through that process, how were you feeling in the beginning of that awakening? Is that you felt like you were failing? You weren't sure whether you're going to get through it? How did that go for you in that period of time?
Man, I felt lost. And I think what a lot of people do, we all have a numbing agent, shopping. We all have that self-sabotage, whatever that may be, scrolling on social. Mine, I didn't know what else to do. And my go-tos were food and alcohol. So I was drinking a lot, and I'm not a big drinker, never have been. I was drinking a lot. I wrote in my book, Take the Leap. I wrote about how I was so uncomfortable in my own skin, muffin topping. So if you don't know what that means.
They are nice. They're very tasty.
Yeah, you're spilling out over your jeans. And it was just like, I literally felt like I just lost myself.
Yeah. When you went through that process, that happening for you, what I want to get through here, I suppose, is that sometimes through the struggle, it's like after the storm, there's rainbows and there's sunshine. So with that, I think it's important to point out that what is that in where you're, let's call it, say, depressed, sad, feeling like you failed, you're not good enough, all those sorts of feelings. Is it a matter of recognizing those as a sign that you're doing something well? Or is it a sign to go, you know what I was doing isn't great and I'm sort of detoxing here. I'm letting go of everything that I was hanging on to that I thought was right for me. Like you said, it was someone else's version of success. Mm-hmm. And now once, I guess, as you come out the other side, what did that look like and how did you start, I guess, seeing more positive outcomes for that change you were making, and a big change by the sounds of it?
Oh, gosh, there's a lot to unpack there. Yeah. Ultimately, yes, it felt like a rebirth. You know, I feel like a lot of people go through that dark period. For me, it felt like a butterfly is sort of my symbol. Yeah. And so it felt like that cocoon period, this dark period. I had to go through it to come out and fully express my authentic self. But what you kind of touched on is our emotions. Think of them as like a check engine light in your vehicle. Your emotions, like Abraham Hicks teaches in the emotional guidance scale, your emotions are an indicator of how you've been thinking. So if you're in those low vibes, bored, dissatisfied, angry, impatient, depressed, that creates a habitual way of being. As Dr. Joe Dispenza calls it, your personality, how you think, feel, and act creates your personal reality.
Absolutely.
Living in those low vibe states are not your norm. That's not your natural state. So again, the emotions are the check engine light. And it's just like, oh, okay, well, if I can create this scenario of in a funk, bad health, negative mindset, a relationship that's not what you want, well, then you can also create the flip side.
Yeah. Okay. Now there's two ways to answer this question, which is, how do you know whether it's your job and your relationship versus it's just something within yourself?
Well, it's always within yourself because I love Neville Goddard says that, and I'm sure he's not the only one, but this is who I know it from. Neville Goddard says that our life, everything in the external world is a projection of our internal state of being. Again, most people are conditioned to try to fix the external, to get a new job, to try to make more money, to get in a different relationship. It's an inside job. When you change how you're thinking and feeling. The external reflects that. So it's always an inside job.
So if the job is terrible, you're not enjoying, like you said, I can't remember the first part, but you're cheering on Friday, you're loathing Monday, something to that effect. If you're starting to feel like that, it's not the job, it's not the relationship. It's you got to stop yourself in that moment and go, right, I've got to do some inner work here and I've got to change how I think. And organically, when you do that and you put that work in, then the outside will change. You will possibly change careers, or you might say make better of the career you're currently in, because you'll feel a lot more aligned with who you really are and what you love doing. Is that about right?
So, yes. Well, and in that situation, step number one would be to find gratitude. One, let's go to the job situation. For me, it didn't matter what job I had I worked in corporate for over 10 years. No matter the position, no matter the company or industry, I always had that same feeling at some point. So you see how people try to change the environment, but it's an internal job.
Yeah.
And for me, it's because I wasn't doing what I was meant to do. I love what I do. Like my zone of genius, since I was a little girl, I always wanted to be a teacher. And now I'm teaching in a different aspect. So I'm just saying it's possible for all of us. Mm. But you asked something specifically. Sorry, I don't remember this specific question, but ultimately it's just, yes, it's an inside job. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Sorry. It really comes down to, and Napoleon Hill shares this in Outwitting the Devil. Love that book.
Okay.
Our biggest problem is an undisciplined mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's self-talk. It's a beast, because often the self-talk isn't that helpful.
Well, supposedly, statistics show that, we have somewhere between 60 to 70,000 thoughts in a day, and 80% are negative.
That's a stat I haven't come across. I always used to say 80 to 90, so that's good to know. Because I've used that as an example with people. Could you imagine a person, an actual person, following you around all day and 50,000 times a day they're telling you something negative about you? You'd probably end up killing them. You'd be in jail, but we have to run in our mind.
Instead, you're in an internal tug of war. I've had that mental chaos. It is awful.
Yeah, I have too. Absolutely. And I had some similar moments to yourself, the same sort of, I guess, theme, which is corporate world and getting to a point of, you know what, I've accomplished all these goals that I set out to achieve, and for some reason, I'm still not happy and not content. It's just enough never feels like it's enough. So for me, that was the wake up. And if anyone's ever wondering, so for those listening, if anyone's ever wondering that what is the actual wake up, well, sometimes that's just it. It might sound oversimplified, but if you're just not happy, then it's time for a change. And I know that Joe Dispenza mentioned something to the effect of, why do we always wait to hit rock bottom before we want to make a change? So try to avoid that, anyone listening.
that light nagging, you're right. We don't need to wait for that big wake-up call, but most people do.
They do. It's sort of human nature, isn't it? And I think sometimes that conditioning and how we're taught, sufference and challenge, that's just kind of how life goes. It's the way it's supposed to be. And sometimes it's crap. And I'm detaching from that myself. And I see that in my network, and I see that in my family and my upbringing, that struggle and challenge was not necessarily virtuous. It is for some, it's virtue to be in struggle and challenge, but you're not worth anything unless, or you can't get rewarded unless you've gone through some struggle and challenge. And I'm looking at it going, it's not actually supposed to be that hard. And I guess that comes back to the other point of, all right, you've discovered that you're unhappy and you start doing that internal work. What did it for you, as in what felt like you found your purpose, and what did that sort of mean for you?
Honestly, I don't think there's a destination. I feel like I will be on my journey until I don't wake up again. But ultimately for me was, there is a difference between, and you're right, is totally cultural programming that you have to struggle and effort. You got to hustle and grind to get ahead. You got to make shit happen. Yeah. That is very toxic, masculine energy. And that's one way to do it. I believe life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whatever you believe to be true is true for you.
Oh,
so ultimately,
absolutely.
For me, the fact that I love waking up, getting to create new content, connecting with new people, podcasting, I've got to connect with people literally from all over the world.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I love doing this. And, I guess I had to talk myself into it, because think about other people, you know, they're singers and artists and creatives out there making a lot of money doing something they enjoy, not working a 9-to-5. And so that was my own conditioning and programming I had to unlearn and let go of, that I could only make money through a job.
Yep. And that's a standard type of conditioning, that's for sure. And that's the, and that starts very young, just in very basic terms. Go through schooling, go through high school, get a good education, whether it be college or university, as it's referred to here in Australia. And then once you've got that, you're set up. You can stand on your own two feet, you get into a job, and you climb the ladder, you earn more. And that's kind of how a great life is created. And it's something that, to a degree, has some merit. But importantly, I think it's, we got to point out here that when you're discovering your purpose, it's those things of, when it wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a good way, not wake you up worried and, oh crap, I've got stuff to do and I've got to get it done. And it's kind of in a panic. And I know that I was doing some work on Sunday and I was just in it. I was just wasn't thinking about anything else. And then it was like all of a sudden I just went, oh, what's the time? And it was 3.5 hours after I started. It seriously felt like 1 hour. That to me is like what you touched on before, making your content. That's what it feels like when you found your purpose.
Well, that's your zone of genius. And you know what? I left a 9-to-5 for a 24/7, 365. Literally, my brain never shuts off. I'm always thinking about content and ideas. Yeah, my coaching clients. I'm in between calls. I'm always thinking about, okay, what is the best way to go about to, you know, wake them up and really hone in on. It never shuts off, but I love it.
But it becomes a good kind of tide as well. And I think I want to be clear here too, when that hustle culture does have some merit if it is directed in the right way for you. So if you're spending time like we're talking about and doing what you love doing and you don't even realize that 4 hours has gone by, or you've woken up at 3 a.m. with a great idea that just energizes you, but you're still tired at the end of the day, it's a different tired. That's a good symbol too. Whereas I know then jobs or careers or things gone by for me, that I recognize the difference now between a bad tide and a good tide. And good tide is for me like this sort of work we're doing now, having this conversation or creating content and those sorts of things, much like what you said. So I guess part of that would come into a theme here that, and this can go a few different ways as well, that the brain and heart coherence. Now tell us a little bit about that and how people can come to one, recognize it, and what it actually can do for them.
Okay, I love this stuff. So this is more or less manifesting. And Dispenza talks about it, what you just said, brain and heart coherence. That is Dr. Joe Dispenza. He comes at it from a very scientific angle. But Abraham Hicks talks about it upstream, downstream, thoughts, feelings, vibration, energy, frequency. So I will break it down from my perspective, because I take it in from all these different people and then like I regurgitate the way I understand it. So ultimately, brain and heart coherence is another word for alignment. Alignment is simply, one, being very present, but two, it's when your thoughts and your feelings are, what's a good word to use besides coherence and align, but they're moving together. They're on the same wavelength, same vibration, same frequency. And again, what I love about quantum physics is, rather than trying to manifest and create results in 3D, matter to matter, as an example, dating, right? Going on a dating app, swiping, trying to meet somebody, applying for a job, submitting your resume dozens or hundreds of times. Instead, what quantum physics teaches us, or Abe or all these different teachers, is your job is never the how or the when. Time is an illusion. That's a whole nother rabbit hole. But
it's another episode in itself.
Yes, your job is to create that alignment. And how you do that is thinking about, this is the disciplining your mind, thinking about having that clear intention, what it is that you want, the dollar amount, the relationship, the career, the home, the travel. Get clear on the what. And then to quote, collapse the wave, collapse time, you need to embody the feeling of the end result in present tense. For example, money. A lot of people are seeking more money. No, you're seeking freedom, abundance. a relationship, you think you're seeking that. You're seeking love and connection. So anyway, if you can get to those end emotions and feelings now, so now your clear intention dispense as an easy two-step formula. Combine a clear intention with an elevated emotion, and you become this magnetic energy, this magnetic force drawing the experience to you. This is not philosophy. I've experienced it time and time again. And honestly, I was doing this kind of stuff. I truly feel it's innate before I understood and learned Dispenza's formula. So anyway, that's simple.
Well, we're taught otherwise, aren't we? Yeah. Sorry, go on. You're right. No, you go.
Oh, yeah. So I always like to give like the high level overview summary, the bullet points, because that's how I learn. Literally, clear intention, elevated emotion, rehearse it mentally, embody it, and watch it come your way.
And I'd like to add to that, it's almost like if you can cast your mind back as a child or a younger person, or even those times you find yourself daydreaming and you get lost, and you could be daydreaming about a lotto win, that feeling, that's what you're looking for. But we get shut down for that. It's like, oh, snap out of it, stop dreaming. You've got to get back to work. You've got to keep doing what you got to do, whether it be as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, as an employee, or as a business owner. You get back to the task, which is operating out of our heads, versus your heart in that moment, how you felt daydreaming, that's in your heart, because what was coming up there was not more money in that dreaming about a lotto win. What was coming up there was that sense of freedom and that feeling of freedom. It's something we are trained, or I guess, or conditioned to let go of, that imagination and that dreaming part. It's something that's just natural as a child, but that's something we need to go back to. And that's part of, I know what helps or has helped in the past, is start dreaming and imagining again, because that's where it's found. And you've touched on a few people there with Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza and Abraham Hicks. And a lot of what I got out of that, and I just felt it'd be good to add, is that when you're really feeling off and maybe you're anxious, that actually in itself is a sign that you're thinking something you shouldn't be thinking. You're thinking something that's not good for you. So that feeling is telling you, stop thinking like that. You need to change your thoughts. Now, you mentioned something around Abraham Hicks and upstream and downstream. So how in those moments, and I want to really point that out, when you're feeling off and or anxious, that's with self-awareness. You touched on it right in the beginning of this episode. That's a sign to go, hang on a second, I'm feeling not so good. What am I actually thinking? And I need to change that. So how does someone change that in that moment to feel better?
Okay. I'll give you, again, I'm very visual. So I've come up with what I call a thought cycle. It's a four-step process. Everything begins with thought. Everything begins in our mind. So our thoughts create our emotions and feelings. Those lead to the actions we take and ultimately our results in life. So you literally can reverse engineer this. If you are dissatisfied with any area of life, back it up. What were your actions and inactions? Procrastination's a big one. Self-sabotage. What emotions were you feeling? Low vibe. What thoughts were you thinking? So here's what I do in the moment. And this has been a lot of training. I call it catch and replace, like snap. And you literally have to remember the emotion is the indicator of what you're thinking. So you got to learn power of the pause.
I like that part. Your emotions are an indicator of what you're thinking.
Power of the pause. Yep. Well, I have a shirt that I wear is nope, not today. So that when I catch those thoughts, I'm like, no, we're not going down that rabbit hole. We're not gaining momentum with that self-doubt or lack, scarcity, fear. Again, this is really learning how to discipline your mind. So catch it and replace it with a more affirmative thought. But again, not just thinking, because that's the conscious mind, 5% of the picture. You have to combine a new thought with this higher vibe feeling. And I'm telling you, when you do this in consistency, repetition, Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about this, self-hypnosis, that is how you stay forward focused, create this ease and flow and momentum. And that literally becomes your new way of being.
It does. And it can be quite a battle. It can be hard because if you're, let's say—
At first,
for our age, around that similar age of 40-ish, late 30s or early 40s, you've spent roughly 35, 40 years spending, thinking a certain way. So it's not going to unpack itself easily. It's not going to just take a few months. you're so conditioned, and Tony Robbins speaks to this effect around what your neuro pathways are and basically what your train of thoughts or your path of thinking is. That's going to take a while to change and create new pathways, but it's something, as you can obviously attest to, very, very, very much worth it. And you've obviously changed your life and people you work with. What's some of the biggest or most notable change that you've had or someone you've worked with out of working at thinking differently and approaching life differently?
Well, here's a common denominator I can tell you. I've worked with clients as young as 24. She was referred to me by after I worked with her dad.
Good place to start. Why wait till 40?
Right? I agree. I was like, oh, I'm so, and I loved her. She was 2 years out of college. So she's still in that student mindset and she took it seriously and did the work.
Yeah.
So I've had clients as young as 24 up to 59. And my question to a recent client of mine who was kind of like, I don't know, is change possible? And all I asked him was this: if somebody is overweight and let's say they need to release, and I say release, not lose, because if you lose something, you tend to want to find it. Words are powerful.
They are.
So if somebody needs to release 100 pounds, is it possible for them? That was my question. And so let me ask you, is it possible that someone could release 100 pounds?
Absolutely.
Okay. And it comes down to new habits, new lifestyle, new ways of thinking and being. Remember the thought cycle. New thoughts will lead to new emotions, different actions, not overeating, movement, and ultimately releasing those 100 pounds. So for my clients, what I have found very fascinating, 24 to 59 men and women, all different industries, different backgrounds, we all have very similar common limiting beliefs. And as an example, one of my clients, a very successful businessman, multimillionaire, also feels unworthy, just like the 24-year-old, you know, trying to figure out her way in life. And so if you understand your subconscious programming, which that's what I'm big on, and that's what I really work with clients, I don't mow the weeds. I don't do surface level tip of the iceberg. I want to go deep down in what I call pull the weeds and plant new seeds.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, my clients that have had the most success are curious, they're open-minded, they're willing to try new things because they realize what they're doing isn't working. And so they have found, and this is what I love, it is the minor tweaks that are creating big changes.
Yeah. And that's interesting, I think, too, that people don't, not to feel like they've got to make some huge sweeping change and a big black and white shift. Now, we've touched on a couple of things there around, I was in a corporate job, like the story you were sharing, you're in a corporate job, and you sort of had this moment, it was like, I've had enough, I'm out. So it doesn't have to be so life-altering in a split-second moment of impulse.
Yeah.
It can be more of a subtle shift to... Now, what's some of those subtle shifts that listeners could probably start adopting if they're feeling like we spoke about earlier? So, things aren't just that great. I'm not feeling great. I'm not happy. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm just not. What can they start using every day?
Okay, I love this. And this is, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in synchronicities. Life is just like, this is a lovely dance if we allow it. I just got this necklace today. If you can see I'm wearing it, it's a little heart. I literally just got it today. And the message that came to me when you just asked that was self-love.
Yeah.
And when I ask clients that, you know, where would you rank self-love 1 to 10? I think literally all of them have been like, well, what is that? Can you define it? And so self-love is not buying flowers and getting massages. It's nothing external. Self-love is that true compassion and empathy and that caring, nurturing that you want more for yourself, that you will put in the quote work to learn to change and transform your thinking, because that will create reality, you know, new changes in your life. And so, for whatever reason, that's what came, is that self-love is a good starter. But honestly, step number one to creating any change is simply awareness.
Start
paying attention and becoming aware of what are those thoughts you keep thinking and have on repeat. And most likely, they're disempowering.
Yes, roughly 80% of the 60,000 to 80,000 a day. It's quite a lot. Quite demoralizing if you let it run. Absolutely. So with the self-love, what's a couple of things that someone could do or a couple of routines they could instill to help create more self-love?
All right. So my most favorite is, and I've been doing this for like 2.5 years, which I got from another coach. As a coach, I've invested a lot of money in myself over the years, you know, because otherwise we live from a very limited perspective. But something she taught me was, I do this every single month, twice a month. There's a full moon and a new moon. I'm not like super into astrology, but I simply follow it because it's on my calendar and I can highlight the days of the month.
Okay.
So each month there's a full moon and each month there's a new moon. And so again, these are just mindfulness practices. I'm being very intentional and I did one last night. A full moon, think of it like a full cup. A full moon is about releasing. And so last night I took the time, self-care, I took a bath, I did a Dispenza meditation, and then I wrote out, and this is, you know, a lot of self-introspection and being honest, but I wrote out what I wanted to release, you know, thoughts, behaviors, people. I want to release what is no longer serving my highest good. I wrote it out. And then what the thing to do is you light the paper and let it go, and you declare, and so it is. Again, this is so you stop repeating these old cycles.
Yeah.
Then on the flip side, the fun one is a new moon ritual each month. A new moon is, think of it like a new start, a fresh chapter, a clean whiteboard. And you just think about in the next 30 days, what is something you want to manifest, experience, have, be, or do? And again, that also helps you to stay focused, like just a 30-day chunk. So those are two practices that I really love doing every month.
Yeah, okay. So to me, someone would have a slightly different way of doing it, but the basics there and the foundations of it are set the intentions of how you would like it to be, focus on how you want it to be, and how you actually get there can be through writing. It can be through some sort of daily practice where you just find quiet, get your mind quiet, step out of work, family, whatever it might be. And it could be going for a walk. So it's different for everybody. So set the intention and find what works for you. Probably the two things out of that in particular.
Yes.
So for you, as when you've seen changes within people and different challenges they face, what do you think are the most common blocks? And explain to us what blocks might be that and how they work or how they hinder us in achieving what we really want to achieve and how we really want to feel.
All right. So ultimately, our blocks are going unconscious. When you're living life on autopilot, going through every single day, and this is something I experienced for years, and many people that come to me, the same theme is feeling like every day is Groundhog Day. Correct. If you're going through life on autopilot, look, you're thinking and being the same in this vicious cycle, this vicious feedback loop. Of course, nothing is going to change.
Yeah.
So the blocks are, again, how you're thinking and being, not even aware of these disempowering beliefs. Knowing, this is phenomenal. So I did a training last week on procrastination. This has been a big one that keeps coming up in my LinkedIn community.
Yeah.
And a guy mentioned, he said, I know what I need to do and I'm not doing it. There's a huge block, right? How many of us know what we need to do, end a relationship, change our spending habits, eat healthier, get movement? You know what you need to do, but you're still not doing it. Yeah. Again, it's a conscious desire. I know what I need to do, my analytical, logical mind, but your subconscious programming, not feeling worthy enough, capable, that's pulling you and keeping you stuck.
Yeah. It's amazing how it works. And importantly, around that 60 to 80,000 thoughts that occur every day, we're obviously not consciously aware of all those thoughts throughout the day. And it's just playing the same narrative in the background. Like I mentioned earlier, it's like someone following you around all day and just keeps mentioning these little thoughts to you, these little comments to you throughout the day. It'll drive you literally insane. But that awareness comes about when we're quiet, like those practices we just touched on. Find that quiet place, whatever works, walking, riding, or otherwise, and setting the intention for better. Now, for you, when you are helping others who struggle with these blocks, what is it, do you think, is it just a matter of sometimes a different perspective where you go, hang on a second, Kai, have you considered this? Have you considered this, like looking at things this way? Is that a big part of what you do, is just prompting people to think a different way and get themselves out of their head?
Again, timely. A girlfriend of mine was literally texting with me before our call, and she has a full-time gig, but she does some coaching and human design stuff on the side. And so she's asking me these questions, and I can't take my coach hat off. This is just what I do. And that's exactly, I'm not going to feed into her current mental chaos. I'm not going there. And so you're right. All I did was I ask better questions. But look, when we're not in it, we're not in the motions and creating all that mental chaos, I think it's pretty clear from the outside what needs to be done, right?
It is,
But
yeah.
when you're so far in the weeds and like you're so, okay, this is what Dispenza talks about, right? Living in high beta, stressed out, fight or flight mentality, survival mode, because you're so over analytical, you're so in your head. Of course, there's incoherence in the body because your thoughts are out of control. You've created so much static. Yes, that feels like depression, anxiety, worry, fear. Again, the emotions are the indicator. So yes, your question was, how do I help people? But yes, I see a different perspective, but I also have been, I mean, I've been studying psychology and human potential for over 20 years. And I think at this point for me, it's just I've done so many of the reps and I actually implement what I teach that it's almost second nature. And it wasn't always this way, but I mean, I nerd out on this stuff. This is all I eat, sleep, drink. I love it though. I love it.
And it's understandable because it is the path to a truly happy, fulfilled, and content living.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
it's not things that we find in what's around us and what's external. It's not the people around us, the career that we're in, the things we might buy, they purely just serve to enhance part of our experience. But it all comes from within, how much self-love, self-worth, confidence, happiness, that all is from within. And I think that's probably the most important theme out of today is exactly that. And the way that actually comes to be, the way you become more connected with it in part or in a big part is actually how you think and hacking into that subconscious part or that subconscious narrative that's pretty much got us to where we are today. But it certainly isn't the way to take us forward. Now, I do want to add to that too, that it's not about cutting out every single part of you and totally becoming a whole new self. What I see it is, and how I interpret it all is that it's just these layers. It's like layers of an onion. And you get to the heart, you get to the very core of that onion, that's who you really are. And all that is just love, joy, self-worth, and value. The layers around that is everything we've kind of just taken on. Like it's like you keep putting on a different shirt over your lifetime. And you're just peeling off those different clothes. So I think the work that you do and the work that's being shared, it's incredible. It's helping people finally live a happy life that they thought they were going to discover through a career and through those traditional measures of let's get married and have a family and buy a house and all those sorts of things.
I was just going to say it's the conditional, I'll be happy when. Been there, done that. I'll be happy when I get the promotion. I'll be happy when I get engaged, bigger house, more travels, more money. Guess what? That was a constant moving target that I couldn't ever fill.
Oh, absolutely. And it's something I've nicknamed goalitis. If you've got
Oh,
goalitis, just keep going. It just never seems to fulfill you. So tell us, please share, Heather, what's next for you? What are you looking to release? You've obviously got a book. What's that called again?
Take the leap.
Take the Leap. And that can, if for listeners who want to get hold of that book, what's it going to provide them?
So I published Take the Leap back in 2018, but really it was sharing my journey from contentment to fulfillment. It's kind of like personal development 101. So understanding the need to surrender, having a gratitude practice, again, those mental shifts, a different way of thinking. And I've actually started another book. I just have a lot going on, a lot on the table, and so that's just not my focus right now, but I love writing. And again, that was something I loved doing as a young girl.
So for you, how do people find you? You've got a website, you've got a LinkedIn profile, I believe.
if it's out there, I'm probably on it. But yes, my website's a great place to start. It's just heatherhakes.com. I offer free video training on subconscious mind, since we talked about that a lot. Yeah. But I also have a podcast, Mind Over Matter. I'm on all the social platforms, YouTube, everything.
Excellent. And I, just as an exercise before our podcast today, I did your questionnaire on the website. And I really encourage listeners to give that a go, because it's just the subtlety that comes out of that. And this is, I guess, the theme of today as well. It's not a bold, bashful way of recognizing, you know what, I'm done with this career, I'm quitting and I'm ending my relationship and I'm selling my house and I'm going to live up in the hills. That might be your thing. That's great. But it doesn't have to be like that. And this little questionnaire on your website just helps for me. I think it was nice. It was a subtlety where you can rate how you feel about different areas in your life. And that moment where you finish those questions or even answer one question, you realize, for example, how would you rate your overall physical health or how happy you are? When you think of a number, and you got to do it quick, you don't overthink the answers, which you've put on the website, Heather. When you don't overthink the answers, it really gives you a guide to how you feel. And that subtlety is then the catalyst for making change. And I think that's a great little exercise. So I encourage people to get on your website, connect with you on LinkedIn, get onto your podcast. And last but definitely not least, Heather, is there anything in particular you think would be worthwhile sharing for people listening?
You mean just like one golden nugget?
Any golden nugget or even a few golden nuggets.
Well, two things. One, I believe when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So who's ever listening to this today, there's a message in here for you. And step number two, if there's even just one aha, one golden nugget, one takeaway, make sure you implement, apply the teachings and not just passively listen to this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely good advice. Well, Heather, I so very much appreciate your time. I know there's so much more you can share. There's so much more we can talk about. I know that there's a lot of great content in what we did discuss today. So thank you again for coming on It's More Than Money podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to It's More Than Money. This podcast has been recorded and produced at Brisbane Podcasting Centre. Before we go, don't forget to click on the subscribe button for this podcast, and wherever you listen to it, give it a rating as well. If you'd like to find out more, you can always go to our website, parentfg.com, or you can find us on Facebook and LinkedIn. Please leave a suggestion for a future topic if you wish. Either way, we'd love to hear from you, so let us know your thoughts. We'll have another episode soon. Thanks for listening to It's More Than Money. Take care, and we'll catch you next time.